We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast presented by the Blue Wire Podcast Network. My name is Steven, and we just watched a football game. I think that's the right way to start the show today. That was certainly something. We'll dive into all of what just happened. Very fittingly ending on an Alex Erickson reception. Chargers win 6-0 in a very rainy football game. We'll have a lot of things to talk about, I think, potentially. Joining me to do that is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what is up, man? How are you doing today?
You know, man, I got some laundry done, so that was cool. that was definitely worth doing. Did I expect it to be a great shootout kind of game? No, I certainly did not, but that was still a snoozer. If you like defensive football, if you like good punting from J.K. Scott and then a 71-yarder from their punter, hey, you got it. But yeah, wasn't the most entertaining game, but they won, and congratulations on a defensive shutout.
Yes, first defensive shutout since 2017, as you pointed out. So, you know, we'll dive into what exactly the defensive performance means, but, you know, the Chargers are 5-7. You and I talked yesterday about, like, the bar for how many points the offense needed to score. We said it was 17. It turns out it was 3. It was 2. They could have gotten a safety and won this game. So the Patriots offense and the Chargers offense is quite a mess. If you are a fan of Big Ten football, that probably felt pretty familiar to you, unless you're an Ohio State fan, obviously. Lots of great punting. J.K. Scott, man, like, salute. Amazing day of punting from him today. So We'll have a lot of things to take away from that game. I don't think we're going to talk about, like, what this does from a win-loss standpoint. I think that ship has sailed. As Alex pointed out, for those who are wondering, the Chargers' playoff chances now sit at 6% instead of 2% if they had lost. So that's where they're at. I think for me, this was a pretty damning performance from Kellen Moore and this offense in general today. And I wish we could start on some positive notes for sure, and we'll get to some of them. But what this Chargers offense did today was pretty inexcusable. I mean, the Patriots have a good defense. It was rainy. I get that. But to have this kind of performance today, is just it was a pretty big indictment. You know, you get six drops from the wide receivers and tight ends. I think four of them at least would have, you know, kept drives alive. The Chargers ran the football 24 times for 29 yards today. They averaged 1.2 yards per carry as a team in a game where you had to run the football. Again, it's rainy, all this stuff, but 1.2 yards per carry is quite literally the worst I can recall off the top of my brain. So we'll talk about the defense and the things they did well. We'll talk about some of the things that did well and other things, but this Chargers run game is just a disaster. I mean, you get a turnover from Tuli Tuipulotu, and you get three straight runs, inexcusable play calling from Kellen Moore. Granted, Justin Herbert did check into one of those runs. You have a third and six situation, and you're at midfield. You're potentially a few yards away from a Cameron Dicker field goal range, and you call a jet sweep to Austin Ekeler, and he's tackled immediately for a seven-yard loss. Like, this run game is a disaster, and for all the positivity that was happening from the preseason, from the first week, all of that has gone completely out the window. Some of it is personnel, some of it is scheme, but I'm at the point where they hand the ball off and I'm basically just like cringing. Like, I'm waiting for negative runs to happen right now. The longest run of the day was a 7-yarder from Joshua Kelly. It's bad. The Chargers run game is really, really in a bad spot. Isaiah Spiller was inactive today. Elijah Dotson was cut today. It really feels like the run game is going to look completely different next year, along with a lot of other things potentially, but the run game for sure has just been a massive disappointment, and I think that's rightfully, in my opinion, where to start the show today.
It was really bad, and it's been bad, and there seems to be no answer for how to fix it. Yeah. There even was like an Ekeler reverse today. They tried something, I guess, and that went for negative 7 yards.
Yeah.
Nothing works. Nothing works. The change that we're hoping for is any more Joshua Kelly. And even that's only 2.7 yards per carry. At least it's not 1.3. So there's that. There's no juice. There's no pop in this offense, this rushing attack. It really feels like, and especially when Austin Ekeler gets the ball, although I thought he ran better before that minus 7 that kind of killed some of the average. Not that it would have been a whole lot better, but they did get a few like 3-4 yard chunks. But watching Ekeler, it just feels like they're doing fullback dive with him at this point. Like, that's what it feels like. The output they're getting feels like that fullback dive where you need one or two, and sometimes you don't even get that. The lack of displacement, the lack of execution, the I don't know what it is. Someone smarter than me would have to figure this out, but there's clearly something about the Chargers and when they run the football that gives something away where they completely feel like, or defenses seem to know what's coming. Even the reverse, although that seemed more of an execution error, but still, like, the defense seems to always know when the Chargers are running, and it's always negative, or it's always for one. It's been dreadful, and their decision, I like what they've tried to do in terms of the tight ends. They've made some changes there, but the running back group and the distribution just continues to be just Ekeler and really nobody else. A little bit more Kelly, I guess. You know, he had 16 yards today, but you know, Dotson was cut. No Isaiah Spiller active at all. They need some juice in this rushing attack. And frankly, you know, the passing game, like, overall, I think was pretty solid. I think there's easily a 300-yard day in there for Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
But the difference between being an offensive coordinator in this league and then maybe transitioning to being a head coach at some point and making that jump and teams feeling comfortable in investing in you is you got to get the run game going too. You can't just have Justin Herbert do all the things. And again, I think the passing attack was better, but if that is your run game, nobody wants to hire you for a head coach past with that. Yeah. Herbert just can't carry your resume for that one. So it's been dreadful. It's been awful. I was waiting for the game to end, so I don't have it in front of me, but it's one of their worst rushing yards per attempt seasons, like, in 50 years. Like, if you look at the previous rushing worst for the Chargers, it's all 1970-something, 1980-something. You know, it's been quite a while since they had something this bad. And I don't think that they have a ton of talent at running back, but I think overall there should be enough talent where they're not like worst of the last 40 years bad. So it's a struggle, and they need to find some juice and find some pop, because even Ezekiel Elliott, you know, his 3.2 yards per carry or whatever it was, 3.1 yards per carry, looked like 27 compared to the Chargers.
Yeah, and Ezekiel Elliott was a guy that a lot of people wanted the Chargers to sign. They could have signed. Not to say that that would make the run game drastically different, but heading into this week, after, if you take away week one, the Chargers are last in the league in rushing success rate, and that was before today, and today was even worse. Over the last 11 weeks heading into today, this is from Daniel Popper, the Chargers, let me make sure I get this right. The Chargers are last in the league with the rushing success rate over the last 11 weeks. No other team, they're at 24% rushing success rate heading into the week. No other team is below 29%. It's just really bad. You know, I'm trying to find the statistic of how long it's, or like Popper put it into like a historical rate. I can't seem to find that one, but apologies for that. But like you mentioned, it's a disaster. And again, some of it is personnel, some of it is scheme, you know, but like you mentioned, at the end of the day, the buck stops with Kellen Moore. And there was a report this week from Cam Marino that the Carolina Panthers are going to be interested in interviewing him for the head coaching position. You know, I don't think that they are going to have a better option than Kellen Moore. In this article by Diana Rossini, they're mentioning that Ben Johnson, is the Lions offensive coordinator, is their number one candidate. Well, Ben Johnson had some former colleagues on that staff, and they have all been texting him that it's a terrible place to work, you know? So this is, the Panthers might be hiring away Kellen Moore, and maybe in a different situation, the run game can get better. He's obviously had a strong background in the run game. I believe in the scheme. I think that the scheme like has good bones. You pointed out like the one of the runs that like Jalen Guyton missed a block and he like just was kind of like standing off to the side, and it's like,
yeah,
that one thing stops a good run. That's mm-hmm. every Chargers run. There is always one person who is not hitting their assignment that makes a potential good Chargers run a bad Chargers run. And then they don't have right now the backs to create positive yards in those situations. You look at like what Ramondre Stevenson was on track to do. You know, he was probably on track for like 150 yards today, if we're being completely honest, because he has that ability to create those yards, you know, in a vacuum. So it's frustrating, man. Like you can't run the football at all today. You have all of these drops. The offense is honestly kind of a disaster. And then the rain prevents you from, you know, being aggressive with Cameron Dicker. So you get 6 points. And it's such a big disappointment to see where their run game is at. You know, when Frank Smith was here in 2021, the Chargers were about 14th, 15th in the league in terms of yards per attempt and in terms of success rate, EPA per play. And that has been the best offense that we've seen under Justin Herbert. And the Chargers don't need the Chargers to have an elite run game with a guy like Justin Herbert. But you can't be last in the league. And Kellen Moore was brought here in a large part to fix the run game, and it's gotten significantly worse. And some of it is not his fault. Some of it is personnel. But at the end of the day, buck stops with Kellen Moore, and this was kind of the last straw, I think, in terms of the run game.
They have to make significant decisions and admit to themselves. Like the strange thing about the Austin Ekeler situation is, one, statistically it's not great, so you could have just made a change there regardless, but sometimes you have, you know, biases, priors, draft pick status, contract, etc., that gets in the way. Like, you pretty much said that Austin Ekeler is not returning next season, and you at least, you know, you gave him, you know, conceded a bit in terms of the contract, but it's not like Ekeler secured a deal and they have to figure it out with him. This whole running back group is going to be completely different next year. And they don't really owe Joshua Kelly necessarily, but they need to make some sort of change. We keep suggesting this, but they got to have something. It's no surprise that your best rushing outputs of, well, the preseason, obviously, and then week one, and really at the beginning of the season, involved Kelly a lot more. You know, in the preseason, obviously got more of Dotson. You got Spiller. They need to make a significant change. If they are praying and hoping at all to make the postseason, which they are, like you said, they have a 6% chance. So the Chargers are going to try to make the postseason still.
Yeah.
They have to make a significant change. There is no reason at this point that Austin Ekeler needs to continue to be the guy that is fed rushing attempts over and getting reverses and getting involved in different ways. And fortunately at this point, you know, it's one thing if it were, okay, rushing attempts, everyone's not great, and it's a scheme thing, it's an issue thing, and that is part of it. But then Ekeler, the last few weeks, has fumbled the game away, fumbled consistently, dropped passes. Like, at some point, you have everything you need to make the switch that you could make to at least go from, you know, really bad to just bad, or bad to below average, but at least it's not terrible. And they got to do it. But for some reason, someone is not pulling that trigger and making that switch. So we're stuck with, you know, 14 carries. Now, some of this was the end of the game, but 14 carries for Austin Ekeler, and then just 6 for Kelly, and then nothing for anybody else because they're cut or inactive.
Yeah, you look at his, since he returned, you know, there's a lot of statistics out there in terms of like rushing yards over expectation, yards per contact, yards after contact per attempt, yards per carry. Austin Ekeler is at the bottom of the league, and today is not going to help. So last few games, he was 10 carries, 32 yards against the Ravens, 10 for 64 against the Packers, who are arguably the worst run defense in the league. So that was a good performance, but 19 for 67 against the Lions, that was 3.5 yards per carry, 14 for 47 against the Jets, 3.4 yards per carry, 15 for 29 against the Bears, 14 for 45 against the Chiefs, 14 for 27 against the Cowboys. That's his, since his return, that's all his games as a runner. So it's just really funny. I love Austin Ekeler. But this is a disappointing season. And you mentioning, you know, they're going to try and push for the playoffs. If they beat the Broncos next week, they're 6-7 and they're right in the hunt graphic. So this is a team that is going to try to win these games. You have to figure out the run game in some aspect. Like, you can't keep being last. So the only thing that you can do at this point is try and change some things up from a personnel standpoint, because Austin Ekeler's not cutting it.
At the end of the first half or the beginning of the second half, the reporter mentioned Staley. To me, it sounded like what she meant to say and what Staley said was they needed to run the ball better, or run the ball more effectively, but the reporter kind of just stopped at, they need to run the ball. And that's reporting what Staley had said at halftime. Do you buy that Staley? I mean, he wanted, obviously both could be true. Do you buy that the comment was just, they need to run the ball, and that's kind of why we saw maybe what we got, or that the report was just kind of incorrect, I guess, and not complete? Because it feels like they were missing a word or two in there. Because I don't know that Staley was like, we need to run the ball.
Who is this from?
At halftime, there was a comment from the reporter. I apologize for forgetting who it is.
Oh, the sideline reporter.
Sideline reporter. Yeah. Who said that, you know, Brandon Staley said they need to run the ball. They need to run the ball was the comment. But I can't tell if that meant they literally needed to run the ball, or they just needed to run the ball better. And there's a word missing there. Because if we're at a point where Brandon Staley is kind of saying, hey, we need to run the ball, then perhaps we have some hands tied.
I think there were some instances where you could see that happening. To me, if you're running a jet sweep on 3rd and 6 at midfield, that's kind of like a similar call to like a draw or a screen, where you're trying to just say like, hey, let's see if we can pop one, but we're playing field position here. Mm-hmm. Some of it is also the rain. Like, you're not going to go into this game passing the ball 50 times a game when it's rainy like that all day long. So I think Brandon Staley's hands were definitely in that kind of thing. I think Kellen Moore also realized that, like, hey, like we're just trying to grind some clock today. We're trying to figure some things out. I think they definitely had the plan to run the game, but they wanted to run the ball more against the Ravens as well. And obviously they weren't able to do that. So, as LD Bruin points out, Chase Daniels has said on his podcast a few times that Staley is involved in the game plans. Like he meets with Herbert, he meets with the offensive staff. We know he meets with Kellen Moore every single week. So Brandon Staley has his hands in the offense. Like he is a quarterback at heart. Like I know he obviously came up through the ranks coaching defense, but he played quarterback. So we know he's involved.
Alrighty. Should we switch to another phase or any more?
Yeah, so we can Okay, the broadcast today was a disaster. The Morgan comment. And then there was like a comment about Gerald Everett and like all those years in Seattle as a free agent. And I'm shocked that they got Thule's name right when he made a play. But the broadcast was a disaster. And like you mentioned, you mess up Fox for Cox and then you head to a erectile dysfunction commercial was pretty funny.
That was a great combination. The broadcast was certainly on one today. Yeah, Morgan Cox, which was funny. And I wish I could tweet specifically the spelling that I would have liked, but Kyle Van Noy went ahead and did that and was joking around about that. Yeah, to go from Morgan Cox right to the drive ends with a Morgan Cox play, which ends that drive. Then they go to a commercial discussing erectile dysfunction. Then the Chargers' next offensive series ends with Cameron Dicker. It was just like perfect. That was the best game I've ever seen. No, the broadcast was something. They were trying to show a replay of that, the challenge that Staley had, and they would show the play from two plays ago. And they're like, I don't quite see it on that one. It's like, yeah, that's a different, it's the wrong play, guys. It was not great. A couple instances where they're talking about like confusing Justin Herbert or whatever. At one point during the game, and I'm like, I don't think Herbert's confused. That's not the issue with the offense right now. It's not a confusion issue with Herbert or Herbert at all.
No, I thought Herbert was fantastic today.
He was,
you know, for what it's worth. You know, the offensive line as well, from a pass protection standpoint. You know, the Patriots don't have the same kind of guys that they usually have, but they still have Josh Uche. They still have Christian Barmore. Mm-hmm. So the pass protection was fantastic
really
today.
Good.
Mm-hmm. There were a couple really outstanding Rashawn Slater reps that I saw, which he's been really rounding back into form. It, like you mentioned, if the five drops were two, this is probably a 320 yard passing game from Justin Herbert, a couple of touchdowns, but you know, that's a whole, another story, I guess. But overall, like there's going to be a lot of Justin Herbert narratives because they're going to look at the box scores. But, I thought Herbert was outstanding today.
Yeah, 212 passing yards, could have had 300 without the drops, and really maybe they didn't have to even just run the ball out towards the end of the game. Love that Erickson got some of those yards at the end there. Arjun pointed out unofficially the Chargers only allowed, if I'm reading this right, four pressures the entire game, one pressure for everyone, and I believe the way he's phrasing it is that Pipkins allowed zero, which hallelujah, we've been waiting for that one for a very long time.
Yes.
So, and it felt like it, right? It really, really felt like the Chargers were clean in pass protection. This is, I mean, not maybe necessarily the last time the Chargers played the Patriots, but you think to that divisional round game where I think Rivers was hurried or pressured on like 2/3 of his passes or 75% of his passes or whatever it was. Bill Belichick has given the Chargers fits previously, and it was really clean today. That's got to be the cleanest pass protection operation I can recall from the Chargers against the Patriots in a very, very long time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the 2020 game, unfortunately, and it was just like every other play, there was like a free rusher and Justin Herbert's. Yeah. That one, it was worse than even like the prime Patriots. So the pass protection was really good today. I thought Herbert was great today. These are the kind of games where you really appreciate Justin Herbert's nature to avoid negative plays. Outside of the zone read decision, I thought he was fantastic. Didn't take any sacks. He had a couple risky throws, but nothing that was like completely outlandish. You know, he had some great ball placements on some of the drops. Unfortunately, you know, Donald Parham, Quentin Johnston, Austin Eckler, like you throw those passes to perfection and your guys drop them again on potentially, you know, drive extending plays. And it just was brutal. So there's going to be a lot of narratives this week. If you're a Justin Herbert internet defender, I like how Arjun got to jump on that, talking about his leadership as he always does every single week in a sarcastic tone. But prepare yourself, I guess, because there's going to be a lot of, you know, he doesn't put up numbers when he needs to and all this shit. But he was easily, you know, two drops away from having a pretty big day today. So I thought Herbert was outstanding. It's really unfortunate that Quentin dropped that third down conversion because he was having his best day. That was his career high in receiving yards. And if he had caught that pass, it would have been, you know, that much more, and we'll see what happens there. But a very untimely drop from Quentin Johnston, and same thing with Donald Parham, who had two drops today, mm-hmm. and both were on third downs.
Yeah, it sucks in a game where I'm sure 10 different Chargers and Patriots players dropped the football today at least once, that Quentin Johnston also was one of those players, because it was, you know, pretty solid overall. J.C. Jackson definitely got the best of him on a slant, but otherwise, like, you know, Johnston was, he had produced okay today. He had a pulse. They went to him. He caught the football more than once.
Yeah.
And it was good to see. And it's a real bummer. Jalen Guyton cost them on that third and short on their third run of the day. There was also that play on the outside that was a really quick flip to Quentin Johnston on the outside, where if Jalen Guyton did really anything to get in the way of the defensive back, yeah, I think we're talking about almost a completely different game, where Quentin Johnston had
on the screen
nothing but open field around him, which is like, that's what I want to see. And I think he still picked up, you know, a good chunk of yards or even a first down, but there was so much more that could have been had. But yeah, that drop, another unfortunate one. You know, it's excusable when you're Keenan Allen and you have had your 100th reception of the season, and you up until this point, you know, what seemed to be on pace for all pro.
Yeah.
But yeah, Quentin Johnston, you can't be known for drops and then have a drop on a third down, no less. And so that's the other tough part about this offense is, you know, it is on Kellen Moore to get this offense to execute. It is on him to keep the operation clean. At the same time, it has been very difficult the last few weeks to really evaluate some of this offense, because guys are just dropping passes. So if you keep, like, Parham was in field goal range, if he had caught that, he caught it at the 30. They could have at least had a field goal or a touchdown there. Quentin Johnston, he catches that third and 12. That puts him in field goal range at least. It's just so difficult to try to evaluate this offense, but also there's these execution issues.
Yeah.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what's up, Chargers fans? Make Little Caesars the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, part of your game day. Order online during our pizza pregame 1 hour before NFL games and get ready for some football and fun. Choose your favorite Little Caesars pizza or pick the toppings you crave. Either way, you win. And speaking of winning, everyone scores with convenient delivery or our in-store pizza portal pickup. So grab some friends and enjoy a few slices during the tastiest hour before Chargers kickoff.
Hey, it's Tyler from the Guilty as Charged podcast. I'm here to talk about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is a skill-based, real-money daily fantasy sports game. How does it work? You pick 2 to 6 players, and if they will go more or less than their Prize Picks projection. Watch your progress update in real time, win up to 25 times your entry amount, and cash out your winnings with quick scoring, settling, and withdrawals. Prize Picks offers frequent discounts, bonuses, and other exciting offers. Players can enjoy community-wide promotions, including weekly promotions like Taco Tuesday and Flex Friday. I've loved using Prize Picks so far. This week's I've got Justin Herbert with more than 284.5 passing yards and Keenan Allen with more than 82.5 receiving yards. To make your selections, go to prizepicks.com/guilty and use code GUILTY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/guilty and use code GUILTY for a first deposit match up to $100.
Yeah, man, it was really close to a potentially big Herbert day, but you know, we'll see what happens here. All right, let's switch gears here. Talk about the defense, which I think showed out pretty well today. You know, the Patriots are definitely not, you know, like a well-oiled machine or anything like that. But we felt like heading into this game that this was potentially a Jets light situation where if you can stop the run, if you can get this team into third and long, then the pass rush should be able to get home. And I felt like in the first half, there were like 6 or 7 times where Khalil, Tooley, Morgan were really, really close to, you know, getting home on Bailey Zappi. And then in the second half, that just like kind of, it just has a snowball effect, similar to like turnovers when that starts to happen. So Khalil gets his 2 sacks. Derwin and Eric Kendricks, excuse me, each get a sack. Was Tooley the other one? No, it was Justin Hollins. Justin Hollins had the 5th one.
Yes.
Tooley was close on a couple other ones, but, you know, those 5 sacks, it changes the game, and the amount of times that they were able to hit Bailey Zappi in those 3rd and 4th and long situations, it just changes the game. And, you know, the one thing the broadcast did well was on that 4th down, they pointed out that, you know, Hunter Henry was open for a conversion, but Khalil Mack got pressure. It changed Bailey Zappi's launch point, and then it gave Iseng Bassey and Eric Kendricks time to get there for a recovery. So this was really the pass rush. The pass rush won them the game, in my opinion, alongside J.K. Scott in his career day. So Khalil Mack gets his 15th sack of the season, and he's really having a truly incredible season at age 32. So shout out to Kent Khalil and the pass rush for holding it down today.
Yeah, it was really great to see from this group. I know it's tough to not roll your eyes as a fan if you're looking at, you know, who they played. I understand that we've also just kind of been fooled by this defense and the pass rush before, considering who they've played, you know, holding the Jets to only 6, the Bears to 10 or whatever it was. But still, like, a shutout is a shutout, and regardless, they've played some really bad offenses, and that's still their first one since 2017. So it was a tremendous overall performance. It was close at points. I think Bill Belichick also could have just taken a field goal there, although their draft pick, Ryland, has not been consistent either, so maybe it's not much of a gimme there. But still, the defense holding the Patriots to 0 points is really tremendous, and Khalil Mack, I'm very curious where he's at now in terms of, let's say, like TJ Watts, you know, defensive player of the year kind of season, or some of these edge rushers who have won defensive player of the year. I don't know that he'll get maybe the pressure totals necessarily. And I don't know that you get a lot of credit if your team doesn't make the postseason and, you know, the defense overall isn't very good. But Khalil Mack is somebody who is now in defensive player of the year contention. He kind of was last week, right? But now you're really starting to see, as he strung together another 2-sack performance, you look at who they have left. I mean, the Broncos apparently were terrorized by Will Anderson today, who had 2 sacks at least. And
Mike McGlinchey is one of the worst offensive tackles in the league right now.
Right. And they get to play the Broncos twice. And Russell Wilson isn't exactly, you know, fleet of foot and young anymore. They get to play the Raiders again. Like, we talked about it on the Charger channel last week about Khalil Mack getting close to the sack record, if not breaking it. if other guys help him out and coverage holds up, which we'll see how it does against the Broncos, I really think Khalil Mack is going to get there, man. He's currently on the pace too, and he's got some really bad tackles coming up. And frankly, I think Khalil Mack looks better, quicker, more bend to him, more not effort. He seems younger as the season has gone along than he did at the beginning of the year. He's obviously sick of losing, and it really shows. So he's impressive, man. We have not seen anything like this. I mean, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, we've really celebrated like these, you know, 13, 14 sack kind of seasons as being really big. And they were, they are, but when was the last time we saw anything close to where Mac is going to end up, which is pushing 20 sacks? The Chargers have never had anything even close to that in the last few years. So, someone will have to let me know, I guess. But yeah, Khalil Mack on pace for 20 sacks is tremendous, and I wish it were in a better season.
Yeah, it's really a shame that it's essentially being wasted. But, you know, if you look at just the Pro Football Focus era, I tweeted this out last week. The best pass rush season the Chargers have had is Joey in 2019 when he got, I think it was 79 pressures or 78 pressures. And he had, I think it was like 32 combined hits between sacks and actual hits. And Khalil is on pace to dust those numbers. You know, he's on pace right now to have like a truly crazy scene. We don't know what the pressure numbers are going to be from today. I feel like watching the broadcast that he was probably at like 8 or 9 pressures plus the 2 sacks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If I had to guess right now. So we'll see what happens there, but it's crazy. Like, to put this into context of like the kind of season he's happening. So let's say he finishes at 19 sacks. Like, let's just say he kind of slows down, like whatever, like 19 is the final number. So 4 sacks remaining is the season. The amount of players who have had at least 19 sacks at age 30 or above is 1. Robert Mathis in 2013 had 19 and a half. He's the only other player who would end up above 19 sacks above 30. Like, if he hits 20, he's the only 30-year-old and above to hit more than 19 sacks. Like, what he's doing at his age is crazy. Like, this is potentially more impactful from a statistical standpoint than his Defensive Player of the Year campaign. Because, you know, that year he hit like close to 100 pressures, but he didn't have the sack numbers. And he had like, I think, 3 more run stops today. Like, he walloped Ezekiel Elliott one time.
He did.
this is truly like potentially Khalil Mack's best season at age 32. It's so unfortunate that this is being wasted on this kind of season, you know, and Joey's not healthy, and, you know, it is what it is from a pass rush standpoint. But I just, like, I have such a high respect for what Khalil is doing. Because he is, you know, there was a quote earlier this week that he was talking to Quentin Johnston about his rookie season and like trying to like prop him up. You know, he's propping Khalil, he's propping Thule up and teaching him everything he knows. Like, he's carrying this defense on days like today. Like, I have such a high opinion this year of what Khalil Mack is doing. Like, I don't know what the future holds. I hope he's able to get an extension and stay on this team. But he's becoming one of my favorite Chargers ever because of what he's doing this season. Like, it's such a treat to watch what he's able to do right now, and he deserves a ton of respect. I don't think he's going to get Defensive Player of the Year. You know, the Chargers would have to win the rest of their games and make the playoffs and things like that. You know, over these guys who are legitimately in the playoff hunt, but he definitely deserves to be mentioned, like you said earlier. It's just like, I love watching Khalil Mack. He's like the one thing that has kept me watching the defensive tape back and watch the Packers tape, you know, previously, but basically because I wanted to see like what Khalil was doing. So he's having such a special season, and I've loved watching it, even if it's kind of a lost season right now.
I'm glad you said it, because I really was starting to feel that today and really the last few weeks, and just, he's so impressive overall. The press conferences, you watch him, he's so impressive, very careful with what he says. But someone, like, you can tell, I'm sure, he gets in front of everybody on the team everyone shuts up and listens. And he just commands. 100%. He just has a kind of presence that feels almost throwback. I don't know. There's something about it. Part of it's his age too. He's not a young player. He's been around the league for a while. He's a veteran. There's just something about him that just feels like greatness. It really is just greatness on the screen and on the field, off the field. And like you said, he's becoming one of your favorite Chargers. And I completely agree. What you're seeing from him and what he's been able to do, you know, listen, Dustin Hopkins, I joke, but like he's kind of a legend low key because he's a guy who was injured and kicked the Chargers to a win against Denver. You know, fans love players like that who through adversity, against all odds, or just by themselves because no one else will do it, they pull their team to being, you know, something, or at least their side of the football is any bit better because of them. And what Khalil Mack has been doing, it truly is special. We don't always get to witness greatness with the Chargers. We don't always get to witness the greatness of one particular player at their position in their prime, like not really in their prime necessarily, but in their prime, because that's what Khalil Mack is at right now. It's really great to witness greatness and also just love him so much for who he is off the field. He's been, it stinks that this is the season and it potentially a lost season and a lost season for everyone, because at the end of the day, I hope this is something that Chargers, I don't think it'll always hit like this every time, but that trade for Khalil Mack, while it didn't specifically change the fortunes of the team in terms of what's given up and what you're now getting, that's one of the best acquisitions and moves and trades I can remember for a team. I mean, this is, if you're looking at even just the Telesco era, this is right up there, if not surpassing at this point, like the Casey Hayward signing. That specific move that was made at this point looks genius. It was pretty solid last year and even like still pretty good at the beginning of this year, but like it looks genius right now. It's an unfortunate, it's in a lost season and lost for many people.
Yeah, I think like you can hear it in the way people, like his teammates, are talking about him. Like if he is able to stick around, and we'll see what happens after the season, it's a very similar influence to like what Keenan has meant to the offense, where whoever you ask in terms of a young player, whether it is Tyrell Williams or whether it's Mike Williams or Josh Palmer or Justin Herbert or even the offensive linemen, like they all know that like Keenan is the guy. Keenan is the one who's carrying everything right now. He's the leadership. He's the tone setter. We know what we can count on him. And then also, by the way, like he's producing at an elite level. That's how Khalil Mack has been for this team right now. The leadership, the production, it's all just like at a really, really high level. I just wish there were more people matching that right now. Because what he's doing is insane. Again, if he had just had a similar season to last year, you know, you're still talking about a very productive, very solid move from the trade. You're only talking about, you know, second and a sixth round pick, but you're looking at this as the Chargers trading a second and a sixth round pick for a guy who has had potentially 30 sacks over two seasons, you know, a guy who has had the ability to really like set the culture and be an example for all of these players and like change the leadership of the players right now. I just wish it meant more. Like I wish that the Chargers were able to give him a season where they were contending for the playoffs, a season where he could get into that situation again, where he's able to have that playoff moment, you know, like he did for like that one season with the Bears. So, you know, and he's talked about that. He wants to win. He wants to get to the playoffs. He wants to win a Super Bowl. And it sucks that it's not happening. Same thing for Keenan. You know, Keenan had his 100th reception today in the third quarter of that game. And now there's five more games for him to do this. Like Keenan could potentially hit Michael Thomas's record for the reception. And I wouldn't all be surprised that, you know, either. I don't think Keenan's going to lead the league in receiving yards after what Tyreek Hill did today.
No. Thank you, Commanders, for that one.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate you, Washington. But it's just, it sucks, man, that Keenan and Khalil, these two like franchise cornerstone players, are having career seasons at their ages, and it's kind of going to waste. So it sucks, but Khalil deserves so much respect. He deserves all the praise. I know nobody's going to want to vote for Pro Bowlers, but please go vote for Khalil Mack to be a Pro Bowler. Yeah. Please go vote for Keenan Allen to be a Pro Bowler. because those two players absolutely deserve the recognition for the seasons that they're having.
If you had told me, you probably would have also told me Lindsley went down and Williams went down and Palmer went down. But if you had told me Keenan Allen is potentially having an all-pro season, whether he's voted or not, let's say a Pro Bowl year,
sure,
Khalil Mack was on pace to break the sack record, and Justin Herbert, other than the finger issue, has been healthy all year, and the offensive line in general was healthy, I tell you, where's the Super Bowl again? You know, where are we flying to? What
at minimum you're expecting probably the opposite record right now of 7-5.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right. And special teams is still good. It's not like that's been the issue.
Special teams is great today.
Special teams is awesome today. What was the last game J.K. Scott was really good in where everything else was bad? Was that the Jets game?
Yes. Yes.
There was some game where like the offense was terrible, but J.K. Scott was on fire.
J.K. Scott, he's not an elite punter by any means, but he's capable like once every four games of putting out a game like this. And in the rain too, like, we'll see what happens there. Obviously, I'm pretty sure he's under contract next season. I don't know if they'll keep him or not, but again, Ryan Ficken, shout out. What a legend, man, has completely turned this season around. Haven't mentioned him yet too, but Darius Davis, without that 24-yard return, the Chargers probably don't kick that field goal in the two-minute situation. So Darius Davis has sparked the Chargers offense more than one occasion. Obviously, he had the touchdown against the Jets. So this special teams unit is continuing to be fantastic.
Yep.
Dean Leonard, AJ Finley had some really cool moments as gunners. I saw Michael Davis out there as the gunner. He was the one who was trying to track the ball on the punt to the 2-yard line. So, also for what it's worth, Dean Leonard is the Chargers special teams Pro Bowl nomination. I think he deserves it as a gunner. I think he's a fantastic gunner. Had some rough moments today in coverage, but it is what it is.
Yeah. What else is new? The Chargers special teams unit, regardless of how the offense performs, the defense performs, special teams unit is always good. I am curious if when the offense is struggling, Darius Davis takes more attempts regardless of how things look. I mean, obviously it was very early in the game against the Jets, so he'll never really know. It's not like he just returned the first one that he got for a touchdown, but in this game, the offense needed it, and Darius Davis once again delivers for them. I'm curious where he'll stand at the end of the season, but it's a shame. You know, you got Thule making great plays, Darius Davis making great plays. This draft class is so close to being a really, really good one that just one particular pick needs to start gelling a bit more. But anyway, special teams, both your field goals, nothing was particularly difficult in terms of range, but there was the weather aspect. Darius Davis, 18.3 yards per return on punt returns. J.K. Scott had 8 punts today, which kind of stinks. But some really, really great direction in the punts. That was amazing. Punt returns for the Patriots. So their kick return had 2 yards. So Jalen Reagor had a 2-yard kickoff return.
Because he botched the kickoff. Like he kind of dropped it for a little bit.
Was that the first play? The first kickoff return?
No, it was it was after their second field goal in the second half.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe I was doing my laundry then. Patriots punt returns.
Yeah.
Number of attempts. So they have 2 returns for 0 yards?
From a punt return standpoint? Yeah, because I don't think JK gave them any opportunity to have any returnable punts.
Jeez. Well, great, 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 great day overall for the special teams.
Yeah. 100%. One thing I do want to get back to here, Justin Hollins has been a real X factor for this team. I think he's shown some real flashes. I think what he has been able to do for the last 3 weeks is certainly meriting consideration to bring him back next season. He's got kind of a diverse pass rush bag for somebody who was on the practice squad. He had a cross chop last week on Ronnie Stanley that kind of made me sit up out of my chair when I watched it on film. today he had another great move. I can't remember if it was a cross chop or just kind of a swipe on Trent Brown on his sack. But he's shown some real flashes, and guys like Justin Hollins are why you kind of lean into some player development in young players, because you never know if you can kind of work your way into somebody, you know, becoming a crucial piece here. So right now, if the edge room were fully healthy, I would advocate for Justin Hollins as edge 4. I think he's really been a guy who's shown a lot of flashes. He's played the run well. He's had some good pass rush moves too. So I definitely wanted to give him a shout out because he's shown some real juice as a pass rusher for this team over the last few weeks. And no surprise, he's another Coach Ed guy. So appreciate Justin Hollins and Coach Ed for coming out here and showing out for the Chargers.
Yeah, the trajectory has been nice. I don't expect it to be significantly better given the number of reps, but going from getting acclimated to two pressures last week to at least one sack this week, and I don't know how many pressures, is really strong. And we're at a point where the Chargers will need to start leaning into these kind of, not midseason acquisitions, but players like a Justin Hollins to fill out their roster. I mean, they're going to have potentially six or seven new defensive starters next year. Well, I don't believe you all just go out and find Hollins and then that's your starter. You know, a guy like that, not always, but you got to start hitting on guys like this. And now you have a pattern of, and give Staley and the defense the credit for this, Kyle Van Noy, Morgan Fox, Bryce Callahan, who I still don't get why he's not signed. Probably early, but still, like Justin Hollins, to an extent, Dean Marlowe, Jalen Hawkins. Yeah. Like these guys, all sort of veteran guys that you've picked up along the way. And while they're maybe not like 17-game legit high-end starters, they've been able to contribute, or some of them even be a starter and contribute, really, really well over the last couple of seasons. So we talked about draft takeaways specifically, but one takeaway from the regime overall, regardless of what happens next, is that like you really should lean into guys like this because you don't have the money next year. Yeah. So I guess they have no choice. So we'll see a lot of opportunities like this, but it's some positivity moving forward, especially at edge where Giff Smith just continues to make it work.
Yeah, Giff Smith is a guy who I would love for him to just stick around for the Chargers for however long he wants to coach because, you know, he's able to just really get the most out of these guys for the most part. But, you know, getting production from a guy like Justin Hollins, that's the kind of stuff you need because right now, Thule and Khalil Mack, I saw the snap counts from the last 2 weeks. They're playing like 85% of the game right now. So if Justin Hollins can give you some production and give you 20 snaps instead of 10 and produce, like it's huge because then it keeps Khalil, it keeps Thule fresh. You know, you're allowed to do the rotation. And so, you know, that is one thing that has been a positive from a player development standpoint over the last few weeks. You know, they kind of got away from the like three edge rush package with Morgan Fox from a pass rush standpoint. It was back today. So I think that was kind of an indication that they are starting to trust Justin Hollins a little bit more in key situations. I think Thule, one of his almost sacks today was out of that package. So I'm curious to see the numbers there. Obviously, Arjun has pointed this out, but the combination of Joey, Khalil, Thule, and Morgan Fox was one of the 10 best defensive line combinations in terms of pressure percentage of the season. So losing that has been a big deal for them, I think. But if they could get that back in the form of Justin Hollins, then great. I think you are moving in the right direction again from a pass rush standpoint.
Yeah, last year they only needed Chris only, and I'm not saying it was because of him, but Chris Rump was part of their strongest rotation of four in terms of like pressure rate, stunt rate, etc. So if Hollins can just slide in and be even a better version of Chris Rump in passing situations, I'm not saying the defense is going to be great, but like at least you get the rush you want. Like the rush plan that you want to have in place, which is set forth by Giff Smith, it's there. So at least you have that every week.
Yeah. Yeah. Tyler, anybody else you want to give a quick shout out to? I think we're at 49 minutes. We'll probably wrap up the show here in a bit, but anyone else you want to give a shout out?
Yeah, Eric Kendricks. I think his by far his most productive day overall. I think he had a pass breakup, but it could be wrong. Or maybe just like he hit the guy on fourth down there to end the game, sort of. A couple of really good pressures, good tackles overall, two tackles for loss, the sack, knocked over Zeke a couple of times for a pressure. So really, really good game from him overall. I think his most impactful, I feel like, all around.
Yeah, that pass breakup looks like that was credited to Bassey, but I think Eric Kendricks was really the one who like affected the play more than Bassey did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good call.
Yeah, that was great to see. I don't remember how much I saw of Murray, but that's fine. I think Derwin had that sack. That was great. Pretty solid game from him. I do like some of what Dean Leonard has been doing. You live with the struggles and hope that some of those things get fixed.
Yeah.
obviously he was one toe away from another 60 yards or something, whatever it was allowed to him. But
almost an insane catch by Devontae Parker.
Yes. It was very, very, the whole game was very, very close on a couple of occasions to just completely flipping.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm curious what they have in Leonard, who I feel like is at least very active in tackling.
Yeah. To your point, Eric Kendricks had 10 total tackles. He was credited with one sack, one additional quarterback hit, and two tackles for loss. So productive day for him. You mentioning Dean Leonard's tackling aspect of things. He had 8 total tackles today. So he was third on the team in tackles ahead of Kenneth Murray. So it was, I think, again, you know, talking about the Justin Hollins thing, like Dean Leonard is why you kind of lean into some things, because yes, he had some tough moments. There was the pass interference call, which I felt like was a little ticky tacky, because I thought Devontae Parker was pretty physical with him too. And then Parker caught it and was kind of like banged up a little bit. But outside of that, I thought he was in good position for the most part. He's a very willing tackler. He's one of the better gunners in the league. So Dean Leonard, it's not somebody who becomes a difference maker, but if you can just in the future trust him as like as the primary backup outside corner, and he's your best gunner, that's a guy who can stay in the league for a really long time. That's a guy who can play some valuable football for you. So, you know, there are some other young guys who I think deserve some of that kind of playing rotation. I would love to see like what Deion Henley has to give to this team, for example. I would love to see Scott Matlock get some more run. So we'll see what happens there. But Nick Williams had a hell of a run stop as well, that saved one of the Chargers drives. So he's been productive. He has like one play a game where he really shoots in the backfield and has just like a really outstanding rep. So, you know, again, a veteran who comes in and has some really solid rotation for this team. He doesn't play a lot. He's only like 20, 25 snaps a game, but you know, he's been definitely better than expected so far. The defensive line in whole, I thought, played pretty well today.
Yeah, they did. I'm surprised by Zeke's output being 3.1 yards. It felt like more. Maybe they just got a couple of...
There were some negative plays that definitely affected that.
Yeah, because it certainly felt better. I guess maybe it was more the 4 for 40 in the passing game.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, pretty good effort overall.
Yeah, for sure. We'll have a lot more on the Chargers channel later this week. Definitely wanted to get this up, obviously, and we thank you guys for tuning in. So that was a little bit more positive than I thought it ended up being. So obviously I had to talk about Kellen Moore and like the run struggles and things like that to start the show. But, you know, when you're seeing historic stuff like Klomak, I guess that makes sense. So we appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll be live, we'll have the Chargers channel on Wednesday. Alex Insdorf, who's in the chat now, is going to have his Bolt breakdowns as usual tomorrow. So please go check that out. The 5-7 Chargers take on the Broncos next week. So we'll see what happens there. Divisional game at home should be potentially fun. I think that'll be more high scoring than today, for sure. I can't imagine next week is 6-0. So hopefully we get a little bit more of an entertaining game next week.
Brandon Staley versus Joe Lombardi. It's an all-timer, baby.
Yes, the two old buddies going at it, although Sean Payton's obviously the play caller there. But, you know, coaching narratives and discussions should be fun next week. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Hope you have a good rest of your Sunday. We'll talk soon again. And as always, bolt up.